No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
It doesn't matter what you
think. The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this episode of Break It Down with Brian H. I'm your host, Brian H. Waters. And this week, I have a very special guest. You know, I tell you can find wrestling fans anywhere. And I just happened to find one in church. So I'm bringing on one of my church family members, the one, the only, Jamila Scott. Jamila, what's going on?
Hello. I finally made it on here. I'm here.
Well, first I thought it was funny when the first time I think I had posted about the show and then you came to church like, Brian, you are the Wrestler Realm. I love that show. I was like, oh, wow.
Because, I never put two and two together. I was like, yo, this show is really dope. And then
And there was Dwayne every Sunday, right there, three seats in the back on the balcony.
Yep, so, every Sunday.
So, you know, we'll talk about wrestling soon. But, you know, Jamila, let the people know what you do in the business.
Oh, gosh. I'm a fan first. But other than that, I help. Well, I don't want to say help because that makes it sound like, I mean, it kind of is my job. But I don't know. So I run the social media for WCF Wrestling. Be sure to follow us at WCF Wrestling on all social media platforms. And I manage all the social media pages. And then I'm also the on-screen president, which is pretty interesting, but also kind of weird. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, but like I said, I'm a fan first. Like, for me, I have to be invested in something before I'm like, okay, I can do this. And WCF genuinely got me like invested. Like, I learned the ins and outs, all the stuff that happens behind the scenes, and it's kind of like, whoa, like this is like, it's a totally different world.
Yeah, it's nothing like working in wrestling, right?
Listen, it's probably one of the most interesting jobs I've done. For sure.
Well, let's get right into it. We will start off. Matter of fact, I'm going to roll the top rope.
Going up to the top rope.
It's time for this week's top rope segment of the week.
All right, so top rope this week, Bianca Belair. No, she did not get the win at NXT TakeOver. I think as long as we've both been watching wrestling, we were probably 99% sure she wasn't going to get the win. But she got over big time. No matter what she does, she gets over. You sit back, you think about her match with Shayna Baszler a year ago, which I was disappointed that she didn't get the title then. I was scared. I said, oh, man, now she's not getting the title. I hope that she don't get pushed to the back burner. She's still going out showing she is the EST of NXT. And even though she didn't get the title from Rhea Ripley, she's still somebody who I personally think she will be inserted into the match at WrestleMania. What do you think?
See, you said that, and the minute I saw their interaction on NXT, I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago, I was like, bruh, if Bianca is not in this match, like, because it's one of those things where, for one, I think it'd be cool. For one, I just think it's amazing that the NXT championship is going to be defended at WrestleMania. Like, if you would have told me a year or like years ago that like the NXT Women's Championship is going to be defended at WrestleMania, I would have told you you're insane. But then two, it's like Bianca deserves that spot. Like, I'm not saying Rhea's not talented. Like, Rhea has all the tools as well, but like Bianca deserves that spot. Survivor Series alone should have told people that like she was not a force to be reckoned with. And then her record at the Rumble this year, like, man, if Bianca don't win the title at some point, we riot. All right.
Well, like, I mean,
get the riot gear ready, the pitchforks, all of that.
We can go back to WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans when she was in the I don't know who it's named after, but we'll call it the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
Right.
It was gonna be the Fabulous Moolah, but you know, skeletons came out the closet, so that couldn't happen. But you know, Bianca was definitely she showed out there. Then she comes out this year at I mean, you know, she just like you said, Royal Rumble. She did her thing. But it's hard to ignore Rhea Ripley, too, because Rhea had an incredible 2019. You know, winning the UK title, then eventually closing out winning the NXT title. Is this one of those things where now that the chase is over, there's nothing to look forward to?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's nothing to look forward to, because it's like, I think Rhea could genuinely do more. And I think by them putting her in this spot, they're kind of like, I don't want to say throwing her to the wolves in a sense, but they're putting her on that high platform to be like, okay, we think you can do this and we think you can go to that level. So let's see if you're really about that kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. I don't think one, put her in a match against Charlotte if they didn't think she was capable of being able to handle it. And then two, it's one of those things where if you can prove yourself here in NXT as the champion, then like imagine what you can do once you get to the main roster.
Yeah. Well, and I look at Charlotte. I mean, I don't think Charlotte wins. Wouldn't be surprised if she did, but I don't think she wins. I think this is an opportunity for her to essentially create another star. And in this case, too. A match with Charlotte Flair screams volumes. She was in the main event at WrestleMania last year. She's going to be, you know, ESPN, Fox, they all cover her on a regular basis. So now you insert this woman who comes out there and lets you know she's not afraid to embrace the fact that she's a black woman in wrestling, that she's looking to be black history. She's sprinkling her black girl magic now. Yeah, so now you look at her in the match, and Rhea Ripley, who's from, you know, Europe, you put them two in the match with Charlotte. Now I'm looking at it like, hey, I'm going to watch this to see Charlotte, but who's that other person? I mean, Charlotte, essentially, people talk about the many title reigns that she's had, I think all 80 of them, but she's essentially doing what her dad did. That was make new stars in town to town to town. It's just that we didn't have social media back then when you and I wasn't born during the era. But I'm sure your dad, shout out to your dad. Tell him I said hi. But
I definitely will.
You know, he'll be able to tell you Ric Flair went out there and made superstars, because if you look like you almost beat Ric Flair, you were a made man. You know, he didn't go out there and bury people. So Do you think Bianca win the title at WrestleMania if she's in the match?
Oh, part of me wants to say yes, but then part of me also wants to say no. And I feel like I'm betraying like all my ancestors by saying no. But it's one of those things where it's like the match is so stacked. I think either, well, for one, like you said, Charlotte can't win it because it's like she's done everything there's to do in NXT. So there kind of be no point in her going back. But it's like, I don't know. Like, I want Bianca to win, but then I'm like, ooh, but I like Rhea too. But I mean, I think because WWE is famous for those people where you're like, well, you got to give them a title. They give it to them at like on the biggest stages and biggest platforms. So I think if they were to have Bianca win the title, that's the perfect time, because it's like you can say you beat Rhea and you also beat Charlotte Flair. Like, that makes her for life. Like, if no one else will talk about anything else she does in her career, they'll talk about the fact that she was in a triple threat match with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair and won. Like,
now, I'm glad you brought that up, because like I said, Rhea just won the title in December, right?
Right.
Does she need to have, by that time it would be April, does she really, like, is that okay? Like, would Rhea Ripley fans be satisfied? Does Rhea Ripley need a 6 to 8 month title reign?
Think she does, but it's also one of those things where NXT, I think, is trying to slowly build up their other female talent, so they need like a consistent person that everybody knows. Not to say that like Bianca isn't, but like, think about it, everyone else that they've signed recently, the fans either don't know or they haven't seen yet, because not a lot of them follow other promotions outside of WWE. But I don't know. I think Rhea would be okay if she didn't have a long title reign. Like, I think she would still be fine regardless.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it like Shayna held the title essentially forever. Asuka had the title forever. But in between those two was Ember Moon. So I think we may be on that pattern where we don't have to have such a long, lengthy reign. But then there's also the fact is that if Bianca loses, does she get go to Raw the next night? more than likely she's going to be on Raw because that's where her husband is. So does she actually benefit from getting to WrestleMania but losing?
I would say no, because then it's one of those things where you've been putting these title matches now three times and like you haven't won. So like, is it you? Like, is it the way you're being booked? Like, there's a disconnect happening here. Like, I think the fans would still be rooting for her, but I think it would be hard for her to kind of like build that star power she's built up. But then again, maybe her winning the title might take all of that away. So it's kind of like a two-edged sword.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Good old Otis. You know, we waited all week, few weeks for this date between him and Mandy Rose. And I love me some Mandy Rose.
Who doesn't? Like, honestly, who doesn't love baby?
But, you know, what was your thoughts when you saw Dolph Ziggler show up? Mr. Steal Your Girl. Because that's what he is. He can't steal titles. He can't steal shows no more. But he can still
steal your girl. I feel like they had such good momentum going. And then you kind of throw Dolph in it and you're like, what? It's kind of like a head scratcher. Because it's like, Dolph hasn't really been popping in like a minute. Like, you know. Everybody loves Dolph Ziggler. But it's one of those things where Dolph is kind of like fading to the background a little bit. So I feel like they might have put him in the spot, put him in that spot to kind of like get people talking about him again. But it's also kind of like, we don't care about you anymore, sir. Like, go do another comedy tour.
Yeah, you know, I sat there and I watched this, and I said, you know what? I don't think that Dolph. So the angle, you know, we camera operators. At first, she's the game. Like, what are you doing here? Then the next angle, we saw him sitting down, and they had the guy coming to pour water. But I don't think we get necessarily the disappointment right now. Now, I ultimately think it's going to lead to Mandy breaking Otis' heart. Or who knows, maybe he'll break her heart. I doubt it happens that way, but we know that. Unless they prove us wrong. But I don't think it was right there. I think that when it happens this week on SmackDown, she'll say something like, what the cameras didn't show was her cussing Dolph out. That's where I think they'll go with that, you know.
Maybe, but I don't know. Mandy, she very much gives off like Trish, if like Trish and Tori have like a had like a love child vibe.
Oh, I ain't never heard Tori. I just heard Trish, but go ahead.
I mean, well, because like if you look at her, like if both of them came together and had a kid, I feel like they'd probably look like Mandy Rose. Like, I'm just being honest. Granted, I don't know how that would be possible, but I mean, and it's like, if you look at her, like, yeah, she's Trish, but like, I mean, I would have loved to have seen her versus Trish before Trish retired, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. But it's also one of those things where like, Mandy, she kind of, I don't know, I really like her and Otis, so I would hate for them to like end it so soon, especially because Otis has been going hard on social media for her for like years. To the point where I'm like, wait, are y'all really together? Or like, or are you just crushing super hard, sir? Because I have questions and I need answers.
I mean, think about Zack Ryder and Eve back at WrestleMania 28. You know, boom, the heel turn happened right there. You know, so that's why I think that part's coming. I don't know. I'm definitely, it's definitely a head scratcher, and I'm looking forward to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see like how that unfolds.
Yeah, so let's move on. We got Elimination Chamber coming up. Women's match. Is this match pointless? We already know who's going to win. I mean, it felt like WWE jumped the shark here. You know, you had Becky and Shayna, the vampire, which I don't like, come out there and take a bite out of crime.
Understand that one.
Yeah. <You're> And she just straight up said, I'm going to beat the out of you. And I was just like, but y'all have an Elimination Chamber match for what? To me, the Elimination Chamber match should be on the SmackDown women. Because we don't, I mean, we kind of feel like we're getting Naomi in there, maybe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are even saying Sasha and Bayley, which I hope we don't get. I think I might be one in a minority. I want to see when they do clash, I want to see it be almost a year-long thing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see that right now. But I'm looking at, like, why are you got all your matches right there? You got right. Natalya, and you got Natalya and what's her name? Asuka. That's right. A beef. And you got Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan right there. That's a beef. You got three women's WrestleMania matches on Raw alone. I know they probably won't give it to us, but I would love to see them change the game this year, give us four women's matches.
That would be awesome, but if only. I don't know. I feel like WWE, they had this really high momentum with the whole women's revolution, and then it all just kind of like stopped. And then it's like, well, where'd it go?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like they did Evolution. That was great. Women main events at WrestleMania, woohoo. Then they introduced Women's Tag Team Championships, and then it's just kind of been like flat ever since. So I think the chance of us getting four women's Mania matches are incredibly slim. But hey, WWE might surprise us. Like, you never know with them. But it's also one of those things where the Elimination Chamber, I feel like it's kind of unnecessary, because it's like, y'all already started building towards Becky and Shayna. So, like, anyone with a brain and two pairs of eyes can see that's obviously happening at Mania. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, I don't know. It's just kind of like, unless they're throwing some kind of surprise in there that, like, no one's expecting, that's the only way I can see it working. But other than that, I don't think anyone's really going to be, like, pressed to see it, because everyone already knows it's going to be Becky and Shayna.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. So let's move on real quick. Let's go to AEW. So tonight we record on Wednesday, right after the show,
mm-hmm.
we saw Nyla Rose come out there and pretty much state she's not losing the title. How do you feel about Nyla Rose, AEW Women's Champion? Did they take too long?
Absolutely.
You thought she should have been the first champion?
Because, like, if you look at it, like, all the momentum was in her favor. And I was there for their first show, like, the first Dynamite show, which was fun.
Yeah, and, me like, too.
Like, I think at first a lot of people were like, yeah, it's going to be Nyla. And then, like, the longer the match went on, people were like, okay, Riho's not too bad. Like, all right. And then when she won, I think everyone was kind of like, wait, what? Like, did she just... And then it's like they kept putting Riho up against these people. And I hate the fact that people oversell for this girl because she's like 98 pounds. Like, that irks my soul. Like, every time people stomp her, they're like, all this overselling. I'm like, y'all know that did not hurt. Like, come on now. Like, let's be real. But I think with Nyla, I actually just got to meet her this Saturday, which was super cool. But
okay.
She was really nice. She's also really humble. Like, she was at a wrestling show, and like, she was probably the most chill person. Like, she sat in the back, didn't really want to bother anybody. Like, if someone came up for pictures, she was like, okay, yeah, sure, cool. But, like, she was just really there to, like, enjoy the show. But I think AEW took way too long with her. I feel like I'm getting super off topic here. I'm so sorry.
No, you good. What show did you go to again?
It was called PAWDC Push, A Champion is Crowned. That is a really long name. But it was a tournament done by Fight Club Pro Wrestling where they were introducing this new championship. I can't think of what the whole full name was because it was a lot, but it was called PAWDC. The championship is beautiful.
Is that the Pan African one?
Yes, that's what it was.
The green one?
Yep.
That's
so pretty. So pretty. And what I liked about that tournament was that, like, it really highlighted a lot of Black wrestlers. And I feel like, especially in today's culture, we don't see a lot of that. Like, we don't, like, highlight, like, us enough. Like, they don't highlight transgender. Case in point, Nyla Rose. They don't highlight enough female Black wrestlers or males. And it's like, it shows you there are so many diverse characters and people and styles, and it all just, like, worked. But
who won the championship?
Her name is Trish Adora.
That's right, Trish. Trish Adora won it. Okay.
Yep. I personally hadn't heard of her until the tournament, but like by the end of the night, I was super impressed. I was like, ooh, baby girl.
Yeah, like, she's really good. She's been featured on Wrestling for the Culture a few times.
Yeah.
And I've seen her train. I didn't really get a chance to really talk to her no more than, hey, how you doing? At the MCW school.
Yeah, she's really nice, super humble, like, everyone's coming up congratulating. She's like, oh, thank you. You want a picture? And I'm like, like, why not? But
yeah.
I think with AEW, I think it took way too long with Nyla. I think she should have been champion at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't book there. I just watch. you know. But I also think with Nyla, like, honestly, who's really going to be able to stand up to her? Like, honestly. Like, look at Nyla and then look at the rest of the women's roster.
Yeah.
The only person that can come close would probably be Awesome Kong. But we don't know when we're going to see that because Awesome Kong, I think, is filming GLOW right now. So
that's the dream match, you know. And I know she's like a trainer. But yeah, that's the dream match for me. I want to talk about AEW. I'm glad you brought that up. Less, because you brought up something. We talked about booking, and this has been my pet peeve with them.
Mm-hmm.
I love wrestling. I'm a wrestler fan. So I'm going to look for other promotions. And, you know, I've always get called a WWE mark. So what? You know?
I place no judgment.
You know, and allow me to have an angry rant while I got company.
Hey, go ahead, bro.
Here's the thing, sis. You sit there, we get made fun of for liking wrestling by the outsiders. They look at you and like, oh man, you like that fake stuff and all this other stuff, right? But then, inside our community, they make fun of you for liking one promotion or the other promotion.
Which I think is so stupid.
Yeah, if you like AEW, oh man, you know what I mean? Since if you like WWE, oh, you just only like them and you should like other stuff. You're not a real wrestler fan. Like, there's a podcast that they'll even say, oh, this is a real wrestler show because you somebody can't even tell you the difference between Evil and Sanda, you know? And I'm like, oh, Sonata. Not before somebody correct me. You know, so what?
Because, you know, somebody was going to be waiting for that.
Yeah, so what? You know, and so that's my thing. But my issue with AEW is they're out there booking this show as if everybody knows who they are. And I talked to my uncle, shout out to my Uncle Troy, who was like, you know, my parents got me into wrestling, and he kind of like always had it on when I was younger, so... The obsession was a lot due to him.
Right.
But I was telling him, I said, dude, I understand what you said about Kenny Omega, but the United States wrestling culture, it's a small portion that knows him. Everybody don't know Kenny Omega. I look at people like this, right? I look at AEW as an opportunity. I saw it as an opportunity to get people who like the Attitude Era, who love wrestling, an opportunity to get them back. They're advertising on TNT. You got Chris Jericho right there. So if I'm watching, I haven't watched wrestling in 10 years, 15 years, and I see, oh, wait, Chris Jericho's over there? Oh, AEW, what's this? Let me check it out. Then you give me all these stars. You're trying to put over people. Meanwhile, you got a guy like Kenny Omega. You got the Young Bucks who are very talented, who can make you lots of money, and you got them losing. You got them jobbing out, you know? So that's always been my issue.
My issue with AEW has been that, like, they never, from, like, the first episode, they never established, like, their clear, like, rules and guidelines. Mm-hmm. Because I was talking to Justin, my boyfriend Justin, about it. And he was talking about, like, and we were talking about how, like, during the six-man main event, like, technically speaking, Jericho's team should have got disqualified. Like, Moxley comes and he just, and the ref conveniently doesn't see that and like, okay. Because that was a match I was super excited for. And then I'm like, dang, I feel like this all just kind of got ruined. Like, I'm happy to see John Moxley, but at the same time, I'm like, shouldn't they be disqualified technically, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm not the most educated fan, but I'm like, that's just the basics. And then the booking has been so like all over the place. It's just like, geez, like, do y'all know who y'all are yet?
Do you like the Dark Order?
I almost said some things, but because I respect you and your podcast enough, I'm gonna keep my thoughts to myself.
Hey, I could turn on the when we upload, I could turn on explicit if you got to get an angry rant out. I just know for a fact, like me, I'm looking at it. I don't think I've met one person who said, "Man, I really love the Dark Order."
Stupid, dumb, a waste of time. A waste.
It sound like
of
they idea. They want Matt Hardy. Everybody said it's gonna be Matt Hardy, but you know, Vince gonna offer Matt maybe some millions, and Matt gonna be like, "Wait a minute, you know what? Maybe I will keep jobbing out for a second."
Right. And y'all have to think about it. Matt has three sons. Like, he got to provide, okay? Like, AEW, I mean, Tony Khan got money, but nah.
No, you're right. Tony Khan got money.
Right. AEW does not.
I ain't gonna say they got the resources and stuff. You imagine if, like, TNA had the resources, the production value, the TV deal that AEW have, you know? I hope they get it right. Look, folks, we're not rooting against AEW. We're not rooting to fail, because we know that the more wrestling promotions, the better the business. That we, you know, Jamila can get a job in wrestling. I can get a job in wrestling.
Right.
You know?
Everybody gets a job.
Yep. We all, the more people eat. But it's just some things like, man, come on now.
I think from one, they have to figure out, like, who they want to be. Because mm-hmm. I think they're so focused on trying to compete with NXT that they're kind of, like, losing sight of the whole reason why people were excited about them in the first place. Like, I watched their press conference before, I think it was before, their press conference in Vegas. Can't remember what show it was before, but their press conference they had in Vegas, and I was genuinely excited because, like, this is something new. It's mm-hmm. different, like, and it's something, like, a lot of wrestling fans have been wanting, like, someplace that, like, isn't so, like, cookie cutter, oh, we're gonna follow these rules, but at the same time, like, you have to have some sort of structure. Like, you just can't be like, yeah, we're gonna do it all, and then, like, you don't set any guidelines. Like, exactly. It's kind of backwards.
Yeah, but let's move on back. Let's go back to Raw. Randy Orton, Edge, Matt Hardy. First of all, if you would have told me in 2005 that Edge and Matt Hardy would have a common enemy, and Matt Hardy would be coming to rescue Edge and speak up for Edge, there's no way I would have believed you.
I would have told you was a liar, okay?
Now, I have to say, though, like, listen, when Edge and Christian had that podcast and they had the Hardy Boys on there, I thought that was really cool. I was like, you know what? It's really cool. This beef is squash. Never thought it would happen, but it is.
It did.
I mean, Matt was going to kill him. And then Edge really knocked him out. Right, you know. But now, you know, we got Randy Orton in the mix. And, I mean, to me, I love heel Randy Orton. Face Randy Orton bores me. He ain't John Cena.
That's funny, because, like, for the longest time, you couldn't stand Randy. So, like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't, because, like, he was boring, you know? But when he's a heel, I mean, he's sadistic. He's the Viper. It just reminds me of when, right after, when it was him and Triple H, and he was beating up the McMahons and giving everybody RKOs.
Feud was gold.
It was, but it fell flat at WrestleMania because, once again, Triple H has to go last, and we know what happens when he's in the main event, when he can't carry somebody, when he has to do the carrying, you know. Roman, match was a dud.
Batista, we listened to matches.
Yeah, Batista was probably the best one. Jericho, yeah. They had that main event slot, but it should have been Hogan Rock, him and Orton. I don't think anybody could have predicted with HBK and Undertaker, you know, because there was no title on the line, so it made sense for them to main event the show, but they wasn't following HBK. Him and John Cena, WrestleMania 22 was just, it wasn't, it shouldn't have been the main event, you know.
Triple H can't main event Mania, but his Mania entrances are always amazing, though.
That's true. No, he can't main event when it's like when he's like the lead or the, you know, because his match. I mean, with, I don't know how you feel about this guy, but Chris Benoit and Shawn Michaels, you know, that was a great match.
Absolutely. But it's one of the matches we'll never get a chance to talk about because of what Benoit did.
Well, we can talk about it, but can't talk about it.
But, like, WWE is never gonna say that happened.
Right, and I don't blame him. But WrestleMania 2000 or 16, that should have been just Triple H and The Rock. So, you know, thank God that he didn't politic his way to main event WrestleMania 19 with Booker T. People would have really been upset. At least we had an opportunity to kind of, We was upset, but then it was like, all right, well, we still got Austin and Rock. We still got Lesnar. So that's where I am with Triple H, you know. Which, real quick, before we finish talking about Edge and Randy Orton, who's Triple H's WrestleMania opponent this year? Is he taking a year off?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, who can he feud with? Like, he's done Batista, him and Seth, so it's like, who's really left, per se? Not unless they try and, like, scramble something together, because they don't have something for someone to do, but, like, I don't know. I'd have to really think on that to see, like, only person.
We'd be able to kind of call it by now.
Right. You know what? You know who actually wouldn't be a bad idea?
Who?
King Corbin. Do like a, oh, I'm the real King of Kings. You're not kind of angle, maybe? I don't know.
I didn't think about it.
It could work, I think. Maybe.
That means, you know what, though? You may be onto something. Because, I mean, see, Triple H goes back and forth. He was a face last year.
Yeah, true.
And he hasn't really been on TV, so it would make sense for him and Corbin. Because who's Corbin going to face? God knows, we hope it's not Roman again.
Please, God, no.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, fans, what do you think? Let us know, who is Triple H's WrestleMania opponent this year?
Right, but, or is Triple H being like, nah, I'm too old for this, I'm done.
If anything, it's just a year off and he going to wait for The Rock.
Yep.
That's the match I want to see. Just don't do it in Tampa because I ain't going to be there. And don't do it in LA either because I ain't going to be there. They booked it on my wife's birthday, March 28th, 2021. So I've already, the trip's not like, happening.
Well, count me out of that one.
Yep. But, Randy Orton, Edge, I'm excited about this one. If anybody I want to see Edge in the ring with, because I was super excited to see him come back. I was like, wow, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Tears, okay? Legitimate tears.
Well, I couldn't process it, to be honest with you. I mean, we had just lost Kobe that day.
Yeah, true.
So I was, like, numb. And, I was
I think everyone was.
The Royal Rumble was, one of those things, though, where wrestling was therapy. It helped us,
For sure. I can definitely see, like, Randy and Edge just completely, just, like, all the childhood nostalgia. Just, like, bring it on back. Because, honestly, when Edge retired, I remember that episode of Raw so vividly because of course. Such a tear. Because he was like, if I keep wrestling, I'm never going to walk again. And I'm like, I want you to be able to walk, but, like, can't you stay? Don't leave me.
No. We go back to that, though. Go back to that WrestleMania the night before. Were you surprised that he retained the title against Del Rio?
I was, because if you would have told me that the night after he'd retired, I'd be like, well, then why'd y'all have him win? But I guess they kind of send him out on, like, one last hurrah. But I was still kind of like, okay.
Let's see, I was thinking because I just knew Del Rio was going to get the title. And at the time, I was not sold on him. I was like, who's this guy? Y'all just pushed him to the moon,
right?
And then Edge wins. I was like, oh shoot, he won. Okay, and then the next day he retires. I was like, oh, that's why he won. I guess because they wanted to hit the reset button the right way rather than give Del Rio the title and to have Christian come back and avenge. But so that whole thing was interesting.
It was, for sure. It's just that really speaks, though, to the advancements of, like, medicine, since we both work at Hopkins plus. Like, that just speaks to the advances of medicine, because, like, Edge for 11 years basically got told he's never gonna wrestle again, and then, like, 2020, here he is wrestling again. And case in point for Daniel Bryan too. Like, it's crazy.
Daniel was one that was like, and my friends was like, man, you always believed. I said, I just had this gut feeling it wasn't over yet. Now, what sucks is that when he won the title on SmackDown, I fell asleep that episode. And then woke up 10 minutes afterwards, and I was so mad. I was like, I don't even feel like doing shit. I'm mad I fell asleep. And everybody was like, they was wondering, like, why I wasn't going crazy on social media. I was like,
and you were like, because
I missed the moment, But, let's move on to Monday Night Raw. Oh, we stay with Raw. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens.
I just need Seth Rollins to stop buying his jackets from, to stop getting his jackets out of his gay uncle's closet. Thank you. And then before that, I need him to stop trying to rob Finn Balor. Thank you very much.
I usually like heel Seth Rollins. I can't stand this Monday Night Messiah crap. It's like, look, I know he's a devil worshiper or atheist more so. But it's like, come on, man. Don't insult us. You know?
Yeah. And it's like, we ain't done nothing. Like, Christians have done nothing to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I wonder how Roman Reigns feel about that. You
I
know?
Do
you
too. Because, oh, he is a big Christian. I wonder how, yeah. Roman, I wonder how AJ feels. Because AJ's a big Christian. Like, does not hide it at all.
Right.
Like, if you, so I'm just like, ooh, that's got to create some tension in the locker room.
yeah so that's the thing, but you know, him and Kevin Owens, it looked like we're gonna probably get that matchup at Mania, which that's a Mania match to me,
for sure.
And that's the thing I like about WrestleMania, is having these matches that don't always have to be for the title. And I'm not a guy who says a person doesn't need a championship, because I hate that, right? Honestly. Oh, they don't need the championship. They're over. No, the championship is about being the best in the company. If this person's over, then they want to be the best in the company. But right. When you don't have these guys having titles, but you got these personal feuds, you know, and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are good friends. So, you know, anytime, most of the time in those situations, it's going to be a good match.
Absolutely.
So, but how do you feel about it? Like, how do you feel about Kevin Owens?
First of all, love Kevin Owens. like, Kevin, it took a while for him to grow on me at first, because I remember when he first debuted coming out and, like, challenging John Cena, I wasn't watching NXT at the time. I was like, who does dude think he is? Like, coming up against, you know, like, good old, you know, Superman Uncle John. Like, who are you?
Uncle
then,
John.
Like, watched, like, some older NXT stuff, and I was like, oh, I actually really like this guy.
Oh, you and so then, you didn't you wasn't you didn't go to the Ring of Honor when they was doing their shows here in 2012.
Ooh, I didn't go to a Ring of Honor show until 2016.
Oh man, you missed out that height with so, him and Jim Cornette.
So I've heard, and yeah. I'm so mad I wasn't watching it then, because I'm like, man, I love Cordy. Like, but Kevin, it took a while for him to grow me, but once he did, I was like, that's my guy.
Oh, okay.
But I think him and Seth's match is going to be great, because, like you said, they're personal friends. And I feel like wrestlers who are friends outside of the company, they always tend to put on better matches than someone who, like, they don't know or something. It's like, hey, we're doing this story together, so let's make it work.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be good. This whole Monday Night Messiah thing, I'm just like, not really feeling it.
Now, we talked about AEW. You know, let's talk about the hottest thing they got going on, in my opinion. And that's Cody and MJF.
Lord, them lashes, like, I felt that in my soul. Because I was like, Cody, stop. Like, stop.
I know. I felt uncomfortable. I know Cody ain't black, but that reminded me of a white man beating a black man.
Like, ooh, ow, wait a minute.
The only thing I hate is that I don't like the fact that MJF has wrestled. I wish his first wrestling match at AEW would have been against Cody, that would be the payoff, you know. But, you know, AEW Revolution, one thing they haven't done, and maybe it's too early, I don't know. I wonder, like, what's their pay-per-view schedule? To me, it doesn't really seem consistent. It just seems like, okay, we have one here, and we got one coming up here, you know. I mean, I could be wrong, though.
I don't know. And it always feels like they kind of rush the build towards the pay-per-views a little. You're just kind of can we digest this first before you, like, shove a pay-per-view match down our throats? Thank you.
Yeah, and then you got Moxley and Jericho. Do you like Jon Moxley over in AEW? Oh, see, you hesitated. We waited all this time for Dean Ambrose to get cut loose and to finally be the loose cannon. And he goes over there where he's supposed to have more creative control. And this is what you give us?
And it's like, and then I've seen his matches in New Japan, and I'm just like, where, like, I need that guy.
Okay.
because, because like, because I think a lot of people forget that, like, even though Moxley was known for doing crazy hardcore matches, like, he's still a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just feel like AEW like hyped us up because he came on attack, hit him like, oh yes, like, give me this, and then like it just kind of fell flat. Now I understand like Moxley got sick, which, okay, fine, that kind of threw off the whole momentum they had. But then I feel like AEW was kind of slow to, like, pick the ball back up again. And then Kenny doing the whole, like, barbed wire broomsticks. Still don't get that, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, Kenny.
Whatever. Yeah, Kenny. Kenny has just, Kenny's just been breaking my heart. Like, just
him and Hangman Page.
Yeah,
and
like, and it's like, Hangman, but I just feel like they put him in this position to shine. And then, like, they just kind of, like, just let him fall by the wayside, which frustrates me because Hangman is so talented. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand AEW. Like, I'm trying to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, but there are times where I sit back and I'm like, y'all press conference was a lie. All of it was a lie. Like, y'all promised us best tag team, and there are barely any tag teams. Y'all promised us more inclusivity, and it's like, nothing. Like,
I'm glad you brought that up, inclusivity, because you got Scorpio Sky and Sunny Kiss. Those are the only two black wrestlers. Am I missing anybody? Male wrestlers. Oh, Private Party.
Oh yeah, Private Party. That, I think that's it.
Yeah, you know, and I know that's Cody said a call. He was doing an interview and he said that, you know, that they're looking to get more people. They want AEW to look like the country, to have a diverse group of people. And he mentioned Chris Bay's name, who then goes and signs with Impact Wrestling, which by all means, I hope it does well for him. You know,
I do too. Love Chris Bay. He's super sweet on Instagram.
You know, but I'm sitting there and I'm just like, okay, you know, and I don't know if you heard Eric Bischoff's podcast where he talked about tag team wrestling, and the real Dwayne Allen brings it up a lot. Shout out to the real Dwayne Allen. You can't, it, financially, it's hard to keep sustained tag team wrestling as far as stars, because you got to book two flights, you got to book two of this, two of that, all this other stuff. And I was like, and, you know, I'm like, that's why you can never see tag team wrestling as like the face of the company, you know, and that's what I think they tried to do, but it's like, it ain't working, bro.
Because it's like, y'all gave us the Young Bucks, which is a name that most people, if they follow indie wrestling, know. And it's like, okay, cool. Then y'all have SCU, another team that most people, they may not know, but they've heard of them. Then you give us Lucha Bros, which most people know as singles competitors, but they're brothers. So, like, of course, them being a tag team is going to happen. And then it's like, y'all give us the, and then it's like, nothing. Then y'all give us the Dark Order. And it's like, y'all could have kept them. Jurassic Express, talented. Don't understand Marco's stunt, but to each his own. And then who else? Y'all gave us Private Party. Y'all had them win in the first round of the tournament against the Young Bucks, and then they just kind of got destroyed by the Lucha Bros. It's just like, the press conference was a lie. Like, it all was a lie.
Yeah.
Big old lie.
Yeah, well, it was definitely something. But let's go from the realm.
And now for our From the Realm segment, where I answer your questions from the Facebook fan page, the Facebook group page, and the Twitter at Wrestling Realm.
All right, so From the Realm, this is where we have people send in questions. Actually, we were supposed to answer them last week, but I forgot.
Forget all about the questions.
Yeah, when I had Harold Coots from Fox, Kansas City, on here last week. So you get to answer these questions. We'll start off.
Should be fun.
So I'll let you. We'll start off with the Shark, Sean Williams. Make sure you check out the Shark Attack live on, anywhere you get your podcast from. Sean has four questions. The first one, how bad do the Street Profits need to win the tag team titles? At Super Showdown.
Okay, so I love the Street Profits in NXT, and I love them on Raw, but also part of me feels like maybe they got caught up too soon, in a sense. Because it's like, if you think about it, other than Undisputed Era, they were the only, like, established team. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, of course, if you're comparing the two, it's kind of like, okay, well, more people know Undisputed, well, not know, but more people love Undisputed Era, that's fine. But, like, I just kind of feel like maybe it was a little too soon. Like, them doing the segments and, like, introducing the matches, I think is great. But I also think they kind of need that, like, push. Because I think a lot of people love the Street Profits, but it's like, y'all can't keep having them in these matches and then them, like, not getting that final, like, big payoff. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say they're, like they desperately need it, but I think it would definitely help. Because there are a lot of tag teams on Raw, so I think that would kind of help solidify their place that, like, we belong here just as much as y'all do.
Yeah. I don't think they definitely need it, but I would love to see them win it at WrestleMania, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But I think you may be right. Maybe they were called up too soon. You know, maybe if they were still in NXT, they had a longer extended feud with the Undisputed Era. I mean, you got AOP, you got the Viking Raiders up there, and you know, they do stuff, then they don't. But then you also have the Good Brothers, Anderson and Gallows. You know, so Sharks. Next question: is it him, or does it feel like Raw has gone cold with Cedric Alexander?
Because Cedric was like hot on 205 from when he won the championship, and then like they called him up, and then Cedric just like, you're kind of like every time I see him, I'm like, oh, you still work here, that's good. And then it's like, dang, you're so talented, like, why aren't they using you enough?
I feel like that we never really got to see his full personality, and I think that's what's hurting him. The wrestler's there, but I feel like he's been downgraded to a utility player where it's like, okay, you know, kind of like Kofi Kingston was. We know you can put on a good match. We'll get you in this. You know, Apollo Crews is in that boat. It looks like they're putting Ali in that boat, you know?
Which is sad because all of them are so good. So it's why? Like, y'all only have a certain amount of time on TV, so y'all can't show everybody. But at the same time, it's like, y'all have so many talented people. Like, use them. Like, we don't have to see the same people every Monday. Like, give us something a little different.
Yeah. So his next question, is there any reason to not believe that NXT might be the best as far as Matt Riddle goes in WWE?
No, I don't think so. I think Matt could do well if he got up to, okay, so here's the thing. I think for a lot of people, Matt Riddle is an acquired taste because of his character and, like, his personality.
Bingo.
But me personally, I love Matt Riddle. Like, I met him in person. Super cool dude. Like, really nice, super cool.
Oh,
like,
I bet he was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, not my blessing. What he does on his personal time is not my business. But during the show, he was great.
Bro.
Had a match with Cassius Ohno and me personally, that was my first time ever seeing Cassius Ohno wrestle. So I heard stories about, like, you know, his chops hurt, you know, he does this, he does that. I'm like, yeah, okay, like I said about everybody. And then he chopped Matt Riddle, and I was like, I think Matt Riddle could definitely go farther than NXT, but I think it would take a lot because a lot of people, for one reason or another, don't like him, don't agree with his character, whatever. But I think he could definitely go past NXT, though. Like, I don't think that has to be where his career ends.
Yeah, me too. Matt Riddle, at first I didn't really care for him, but then the more I see it, I feel like he's going to be that type of person. You give him anything, he'll make it go. But he's, like you said, best. Acquired taste. And I think I just want to see him put on boots. Stop wrestling bare feet.
Listen, I understand the character, but I'm just like, sir, foot infections are real, like worse than shoes.
Exactly.
Or it's like if you don't want to put a foot on shoes, put some socks on. That's cool too.
Mm-hmm. And Shark's last question is, should Tyler Breeze get a run with the NXT Cruiserweight Championship?
I can see it. I'd actually love for him to see him like glam out the belt. I think that'd be cool. But
I mean, like that.
Yeah, you know, kind of like how Naomi did with the Women's Championship and the glow. I think it would be cool to see Tyler put like feathers, maybe dazzle it a little bit. You know, put like a little mini selfie cam in there. I don't know how they would do that, but I think Tyler has worked hard. He's definitely been paying his dues, and I think he's definitely overdue for a championship. Like it don't have to be the NXT championship, but he deserves some kind of spotlight and recognition.
I thought that when he came up to the main roster, I was like, all right, we're gonna do the Tyler and Dolph thing because they look alike. Now what? You know, and that's what I think happened. I thought, you know, some people just work better in small arenas. You look at Emma.
Yeah.
When she was doing that thing with her hands, it worked better in NXT. You know, the Vaudevillains. I ain't like them at all, but it was just better for NXT. So
I like Aiden English to really do without Simon Gotch, but you know.
Right. All right. So our next question is our last question. This comes from Byron Dixon. Byron's course with the Flex Zone, so make sure you check out their show each and every Monday on Facebook Live and now available on Apple Podcasts. He says John Cena is returning to the WWE and will be on SmackDown the 28th, which is the day after Super Showdown, and is likely to set up his Mania match. Who will he face?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm gonna have to think on this one. Because I would have to think, like, who could John Cena face that he hasn't faced already? And it would be, because, I mean, we all know John Cena can give you a great match. But it's just a question of, like, who?
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see him face The Fiend.
No.
Because we already know. Oh, there it is. Baron Corbin.
But that could work. But like, I kind of want to see Baron versus Triple H, though. Like, now that I talked it up, I'm like,
yeah, now you talked it up.
That's see that. Like, who can he face? Like,
yeah, I think
that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, Finn wouldn't work.
Keith Lee.
Oh, Keith Lee would be a good one.
Johnson, or North America title.
Or you know who you could do?
Huh?
Dijakovic.
Oh. John Cena and Dijakovic?
I don't know. I just think that would be interesting to see because, I mean, we all know John Cena is all about NXT, so I'm just... Or maybe him versus Adam Cole.
My gosh. That would be...
Listen, WrestleMania would probably sell out in minutes if they did John Cena versus Adam Cole, okay?
I don't know if it's going to sell out, you know.
Well, not sell out, but probably it would be like, I'm here for this match and this match only.
I tell you, I do John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that'd be good.
You can make that so personal. You know, coming back to
they could. Just
and, like, you know.
You were supposed to be my brother. Well, Nikki didn't want me. that's just kind of like when leading up to Evolution and who was Nikki facing? I can't even remember.
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and Ronda was hitting her with them jabs, and I was like, ooh, sis, she ain't even talking to me, but like my feelings are hurt for you. Like, damn. And then when she talked about on Total Bella, it's like, you know, that really hurt my feelings. And I'm like, when nobody tell you to be so stupid? Like, duh.
Yeah.
Well, it just irks me because, like, if she was still with John Cena, she would have been set for life.
She all right, you know. That's she want children. She got a baby. She gonna get married. So,
I guess
John didn't want children, and it's probably best that he didn't compromise. Who knows?
Yeah, because she maybe. Who knows? Maybe if they did get married, maybe she would have did like a Kim Kardashian and been married to him for like 72 hours and been like, you know what?
Yeah.
I actually
need this. Well, let's get ready to wrap the show up. You know, shout out to Sean and Byron for sending in their questions this week. Jamila, appreciate you coming on. Let the people know where they can find you.
Oh gosh, I'm everywhere. But follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Mila_J with two Y's. And then Facebook, just me name, Jamila Scott. Snapchat, don't really use, so don't add me on there because I never check it. But Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I'm pretty basic. Just find me on there. Unless, you know, you work in the wrestling business and you want to find me a job, I'm also on LinkedIn, you know. You can put me on there too. That's it.
Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on for the first time because it definitely will not be your last. We're going to get you back on here soon.
For sure. I will always accept an invitation.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow Jamila and make sure you are subscribed to the Wrestling Realm. Make sure if you haven't done so, hit the bell notification on YouTube so that you
can
get
the show. Probably going to be like here somewhere or like here. Yeah. Yeah. Press that.
Yeah, that way you will be getting notification every time the show drops. And then if you're listening, make sure you drop us a 5-star rating in the Apple Podcast. Follow us on Spotify and Apple. Subscribe each and everywhere. Until the next time, folks, I'm Brian H. Waters, Forever 824. So long, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Hit the subscribe button and turn on the bell so you get notified every time the Wrestling Realm posts new content.